All right, we're taking up Matthew 26 still. Last Thursday we stopped at verse number 45, Matthew 26:45. So let's begin with Matthew 26:46 and go to 46, 47, and 48, beginning together at verse 46. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. Verse 47. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude of swords and staves, and the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave him a sign, saying, Whosoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast. All right, verse number 46. Who's speaking here? Rise. Let us go. Who's speaking there?
Jesus.
Lord Jesus, where are they at this point?
The garden.
Garden of Gethsemane. And the disciples that are there, and certainly Peter, James, and John, but perhaps others as well. What did he let us be going? Where are they going to go, do you think?
I guess to meet them.
Maybe to meet
the enemy.
It could be. Maybe they're going to leave the garden and go somewhere else, but why is he going to go? What does he say about the time in verse 46?
It's at hand.
It's at hand. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. What does the word betray mean? Betray and betrayal. What's the name of a person that betrays someone else?
Traitor.
A traitor. Betray, traitor. That's exactly. What does that mean? To betray.
To turn somebody in.
Turn somebody in who was formerly probably trusting you, right? As a betrayer. And you got something?
Pastor Wade. Good hello and good evening to everyone at BFTBC. Thank you for tonight's Bible study from Joe and Norma Fascio.
It's Wade at Joe and Norma, way over in California. Thank you, Joe and Norma, for...
he said very nice things about... our church and that card.
The card. I think it's under here, honey. We'll have to rescue that. He appreciates the church and the ministry. Joe and Norma does. Yes, over in California. Very kind indeed. So he that has betrayed me, he says that he's at hand that doth betray me. How did he know he was at hand?
He's omniscient.
He's omniscient. Why do some people think that the Lord Jesus was not omniscient? Even Bible-believing Christians. Where do they get that?
From Philippians 2.
Philippians 2, because it says he emptied himself and became a servant and made him like a servant. But the word
humbled
himself and became a servant. But the word empty is there, is it not, somewhere?
It's
a kenosis.
But some people would misinterpret it and say that he emptied himself from all his divine attributes, but that wasn't what was happening.
That's right. Let's take a look at Peter's place here, because the people think that he doesn't have the divine attributes, therefore he couldn't have omniscience. What does omniscience mean?
All-knowing,
okay. Philippians 2, let's see where that word comes in. Philippians chapter 2.
He made himself of no reputation.
Yes, made himself of no reputation. That's where the kenosis, kanao is the Greek word. But no reputation. What did he give up when he left heaven? Did he give up his deity?
He gave up all his glory. The glory.
That's right. He gave the glory of the Father, but he gave none of the attributes up.
What's the verse of his
2:11, is it?
2:7.
2:7, okay. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death. 2:7 reads what?
He made himself of no reputation.
Yes, that's it, no reputation.
And took upon him the form of a servant.
Was made the likeness of man. So, the made himself of no reputation. That kanao and kenosis, that's where it is. Kanao does mean empty, but he gave up his glory, that's for sure, but he did not give up any of the divine attributes. Therefore, he has omniscience and omnipotence and omnipresence, all these divine attributes. Yes, huh?
Some people say that he didn't know, the Father knew. You remember that Brown preacher?
Yeah, the Brown.
Which Brown?
Pastor Brown.
One in Parsippany.
That's right.
He said, What was that?
He denies the omnipresence or omniscience of the Lord.
Something. Jesus didn't know something.
For no man knoweth the hour of the Son, the Son of Man cometh, nor the Son, neither the Father nor the Son. Well, as to his humanity, his perfect humanity, that wasn't his prerogative. But as to his deity, he knows everything, see? But that's the only place where that question is there. But if you properly interpret it, it's not losing his omniscience. It was the Father. Remember in Acts chapter 1, remember he said, what will be the time of thy coming? That's what the Father's placed in his hand. Remember that? That was the Father's placed in his hand when he will return. So this is not, but because of the people denying his omniscience, they're really downing the Lord Jesus Christ and all this full deity. It's a sad thing. And some Bible-believing Christians are misinterpreting that made himself of no reputation, which is the Greek word kanal, which means to empty. But he knew, because he had the omniscience, he knew that the traitor, what was the traitor's name, by the way?
Judas.
Judas was his name, but one of the traitors is at hand. He said, rise and let us be going. He wanted to get out and go. Then in verse 47, while he yet spake, it said, let's be going. What happened? In verse 47.
Judas, one of the 12, came.
All right. Questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call. Give us a hello or a question if you have, or say hello. There, Judas, one of the 12. Now, if he's one of the 12, why was he a betrayer?
Because the Lord knew.
The Lord knew.
He's chosen for that reason.
That's right. He said, have I not chosen 12, and one of you shall betray him.
Well, if he wasn't one of the 12, if he hadn't been next and close to the Lord, then it wouldn't have been betrayal.
That's right. It would be a betrayal. And also, remember, when he washed the disciples' feet, did Peter want him to wash his feet?
Yes, but he wanted to wash everything.
Everything.
No, not at first. He says,
not at first.
At first he says, don't wash me. Yeah. And then the Lord just tries to explain them why, and then he says, then wash everything.
Yeah, exactly. But you remember, at that point, was it John 13? At that point, he said, you're not clean, all clean, but not all of you. Mm-hmm. Remember, he qualified, meaning Judas Iscariot. He wasn't all clean. He knew his omniscience. Exactly. So, rise, let's behold, Judas, one of the 12, came. Who came with Judas in verse 47?
Chief priests.
Why? The chief priests. The multitude came. What did they bring with them?
Swords and staves.
Why did they have swords and staves? What would a sword be used for?
To kill,
what would a stave be used
for?
Paddle to hit.
Battle.
To battle, and the stave to hit him. And
so they thought he was going to resist, and his disciples were going to fight.
And who sent the multitude? Who sent those people?
The chief priests and all those people.
So they're chief priests and elders. They're from the chief priests and elders of the people. That's what it says in verse 47. They're the ones that wanted to grab him, wanted to get him, so they could kill him. And Judas, the one that betrayed him. Then in verse 48, he that betrayed him again was Judas. What did he give him as a sign, these people that came?
Kiss.
A sign.
A sign of a kiss, all right? I have referred to this many times, the kiss of betrayal. That's a terrible thing, isn't it? The kiss of betrayal. How many were in this multitude? Do you have any idea?
No.
Doesn't tell you, does it? But would it be just two or three?
It's a great multitude.
It's a great multitude. So it wasn't simply a few people. In verse number 47. A great multitude. Now, why would the chief priests and elders have to send a great multitude to take one man, the Lord Jesus Christ?
Because he wasn't just a man.
He wasn't just a man. He was a perfect God, perfect man, wasn't he?
They had apparently tried to before, hadn't they?
Yes.
And they failed, and so maybe they weren't sure if they could do it.
All right.
I don't know.
That's right. In fact, at one point, they came to him and, who art thou? I am, and they fell back. I mean, one of those places they fell back.
Yeah, that's in John. This is the same event.
The same event.
Just a different
reading, different gospel. So they came with a great multitude to take him from the chief priest. And then verse 48, the sign was given, the kiss. Same as he What did Judas want to do once he kissed him? What did he want them to do?
Arrest him.
Arrest him. Hold him fast. Keep him. He's the one. That's interesting. Judas knew where the Lord Jesus was. He knew it was in Gethsemane, and he brought the whole multitude there. But, you know, with the disciples, if there were just the three, there may have been all 10 of them, 11 of them, would be 11 maybe. No, all 11, but Judas wasn't there. He had to find out which one was he. And so Judas had the sign. Let's read verse 49, 50.
It was dark, too.
It was dark. 49, 50, and 51. Let's read those together. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched forth his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. All right, we know that from the other Gospels. His name was what?
Peter.
Yeah. Well, Peter took the servant. Who was the servant?
Malchus.
Malchus, that's right. So then in verse number 49.
He was a good shot, wasn't he? Because he,
oh, yes.
He missed his head.
He missed his head, yes.
He missed his head. Well,
I was trying to kill him, probably.
But, no, I thought he cut his ear off real good.
Apparently.
I think he had.
No. Well, he cut the ear.
But he wasn't intending to. I don't think he was probably trying to kill him.
Maybe trying to kill him. And as somewhere, doesn't it say he cut off his left ear or his right ear? One of those, right or left ear.
I
think it was his right ear, but I may be wrong.
It's a 50% chance.
50% chance, exactly right. You got it, Anna?
I'm looking.
Okay, so, but you see, the way that if a person was coming facing you, and you were right-handed, his left ear would be right where your head was, right? If it was his right ear. Your right hand was...
Unless you're pushed from behind.
Well, that's true, but probably he was looking for it. But you see...
You don't really know.
If Peter was left-handed, he'd slice right down straight and he'd get the man's right ear, but if he's right-handed, he'd get his left ear. So Anna's going to figure out which ear that was. But it was Malchus. Why did Peter do this, do you think?
Well, he was trying to protect the Lord, I guess.
Trying to protect the Lord?
He was impulsive.
It was his right ear.
His right ear. Now, if it's his right ear, and Peter is right-handed, he has to go like this and slice off. It'd be very dead. But maybe Peter was left-handed. It'd be right straight. All right.
Saw the sword coming.
He could have turned his head.
He could have turned his head like that a little bit.
He could have been right from the back. Honestly, that would be a...
It could be.
We really don't know.
We don't know. But anyway, be that as it may. In verse number 49, what did Judas say to the Lord? What did he say to the Lord?
Hail, Master.
Hail, Master. He didn't say Lord, just Master, just a sort of a... In fact...
that's what they call it.
The other disciples, remember, said something earlier, and he just said, Master, he didn't call... Call him Lord. The other disciples said Lord, but when it came to Judas, it was just a master or friend, something else. Then he did kiss him, Hail Master, and kissed him. So they knew exactly the person to hold for trial. Then verse 50, what did Jesus say to Judas?
They knew Jesus very well. They saw him all the time. So it must have been...
It was dark.
Either because it was dark or because they had to have somebody name him.
Uh-huh.
I don't know, maybe some legal thing.
Well, could be.
I don't know.
Had to bear witness that it was he. But it was dark, and of course, the multitude came, and if there were the other disciples there, all 11, you know, which one is he? They all look similar, perhaps, especially at dark. What did Jesus say to Judas in verse 50?
Friend.
Why do you suppose he called him friend?
Because he was trying to point out to him that he didn't really treat him like a friend, I guess.
So,
maybe make him feel guilty.
Can friends betray us?
Yes.
Yes.
If you could call them friends.
Remember, what's the Old Testament verse that speaks of this? He that is with me raised up his heel against me. Something like that. Remember that? Mm-hmm. He that is close to me raised up his heel against me. That's a reference to Judas's expression. I don't know the exact wording, but something that...
one of the Psalms.
One of the Psalms, yes. and speaking. So he kissed him and said, "Friend, what did the Lord ask Judas? What is the question that he had that Judas asked?" In verse number 50.
"Why are you come?
Why are you come? Why did you come here? Why are you supposed to be asking that? Why do you suppose the Lord asked Judas that?"
He wanted to think about it.
Probably think about it. And probably, did Judas know why he came?
Yes.
Yes, he did. Why did he come?
To betray the Lord.
To betray the Lord Jesus Christ.
So he called him a friend. And
yes.
Now he's got to acknowledge his betrayal in his own mind.
Yes. Why did you come? Well, he knew. Did he answer? Did Judas answer in this verse 50?
If he did, it doesn't record it.
It doesn't record it. If he answered, it doesn't record it. Yeah, then what happened in verse 50? Who's the they referred to?
The chief priests.
Well, they were from the chief priests and elders, but the great multitude, that's right, Anna, the great multitude came.
Verse whatchamacallit. Oh, yeah, that's 50.
In verse number 47, the great multitude, right, verse 50, they came, they the big multitude, and what did they do when they came?
They
had hands on Jesus. And took him. So they knew the one to take.
That was the great multitude?
Apparently.
Great multitude is mentioned in verse 47.
Isn't the great multitude the army?
Well, I don't know whether they're army, but
because,
they're...
Well, isn't... We were talking about this last week, I think, that we were talking about how there were Romans there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And this verse doesn't talk about it, but does it say that in John? Where there were soldiers... And
at the Garden of Gethsemane?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure. It may be.
The whole idea that the Lord said, "Could I not have called
12 legions of angels?"
Yes.
Where's the they?
The they is in verse number 50.
So that's why I'm wondering if this multitude are soldiers.
They could have had some that were soldiers, but they came from the chief priests and elders, so there's probably a lot of Jews also. They came from the chief priests and elders. Yeah, huh?
I don't think the multitude in this verse, these verses, are like the multitude in faith fed the 5,000.
Not necessarily that big a multitude, but that's a great multitude. Anna reminds us, a great multitude, right, Anna?
But that may mean something different.
Well,
I mean, the space in the Garden of Gethsemane.
Yeah, okay.
You could have this 5,000 in there.
Yeah, all right, Tammy.
John 18:3, it says, "Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons."
Mm-hmm. That's the picture there. So, from the chief priests, the band of
soldiers.
Soldiers.
Well, no, it doesn't, but you think of a band
of
men.
The band of men, yes.
Maybe it was a rock band.
But anyhow, I don't think so. In this particular verse, it says the great multitude in the context, and the multitude came and laid hands on him and took him. Then in verse 51, we've said that before, one of them with Jesus. We said that before. What did he do?
Stretched out his hand.
Drew his sword.
And struck the servant of the high priest.
The servant of the high priest, which his name is Malchus.
He aimed for the high priest's servant.
Yes, he did. And sword off his ear, cut his ear off. All right, let's read verse 52, 53, and 54 together. "Then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword into his place, for they all that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I came not to pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scripture be fulfilled that thus it must be?" The multitudes, "Are ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and you laid not hands on me." All right.
That's a good question.
But isn't that one too many verses?
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess.
That's all right. So now, what did the Lord say to the multitude that had the, or rather, Peter rather, had the sword?
Put your sword away.
Put your sword away. What did he say after that?
"Well, that take the sword shall perish with the sword."
Okay. Take the sword, probably if they kill somebody, perish with the sword. What does that mean?
That reminds me of Esau.
Yeah, that's what
the blessing that Isaac,
Yeah.
Isaac gave to Esau after Jacob had stolen his blessing. Isaac said to Esau, you're going to live by the sword.
By the sword.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think something along that lines.
Now, what does this phrase mean? He that takes the sword will die by the sword. What does that mean? Die by the sword.
Well, it's like when you fight in battle.
What was the method of Roman execution in this day?
Crucifixion.
It was crucifixion.
Crucifixion, but what else? Sometimes.
I'm not familiar
through with that.
Machair, which is what?
18-inch sword.
Short sword. And where does it say in Romans 13?
She remembers everything.
What does it say in Romans 13 about?
Romans 13.
Beareth not the sword in vain. He beareth not the sword in vain.
He beareth not the sword in vain. In other words, do that which pleases the powers that be. If you do right, that's fine. But if you do evil, be careful. He beareth not the sword, the machair, to cut off the head in vain. So he to take the sword shall die by the sword.
Especially
if they kill someone, that's capital punishment of Rome. They had that very, very clearly. Put the sword back in the sheath. He that takes the sword shall perish with the sword. Then in verse 53, what did the Lord say concerning to the multitude, concerning this, to Peter, maybe to Peter, probably. What did he say to Peter in verse 53? He said, put your sword back in your sheath.
Don't you know that I can call?
I can now pray to my Father. And what shall he
12
send?
Legions of angels.
12 legions. How many roughly in a legion?
About 1,000.
About 1,000. 12,000 angels.
Well, here it says, the footnote says 3 to 6,000.
So 6,000 a legion?
In a legion. 3 to 6,000.
So that'd be 72,000. 6 times 12?
More than 3.
Okay. More.
Yeah, more than. Yeah,
more
that's
than.
What he said.
Very good. Footnote. Thank you. So, he could have presently put the sword. In other words, was the Lord Jesus resisting his capture?
No.
But was Peter resisting his capture?
Yes.
Do you think Peter knew the scripture?
No, because he didn't even think he was going to die.
That's right. But in verse 54, what did he say? What did the Lord Jesus say about this?
He's remembering him again.
The scriptures will be fulfilled, the best it might be. Let's see what they have here. Yes, hello.
Hey, hi, Dick Carroll.
Yes, Dick Carroll.
I just want to say hello to everybody. And I just called mine. They're talking about what Jesus said he could now call 12 legions of angels. And I think I heard you mention a figure, something like 72,000. And I'm thinking of the song, you know, the song that he could have called 10,000 angels.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's not exactly what it says in the scriptures.
Right.
You know, I'm a bunch of finding mistakes in songs, but don't set on scriptural. So just a little side kind of continuous kind of thing.
Right. Okay. Thank you, Dick. Let's wave to Dick Carroll up in New Jersey, right here close by, our pianist. Thank you very much, Dick, for that comment.
That's interesting. Now, isn't something 10,000 angels in the...
That's the song. How do you call 10,000 angels?
Isn't it in the Bible someplace 10,000?
No, 10 legions, 12 legions, but there's no 10,000 in the Bible. No, that's unscriptural. Dick Carroll's right on that. But the 12 legions, the scriptures are fulfilled. What scriptures talk about the death of our Savior?
Isaiah
53 and Psalm probably 22. Various scriptures. So the Lord Jesus said that it was imperative that the Old Testament scriptures must be fulfilled, and he must die, must go to the cross. Thus it must be. Like in the garden, not my will, but what? Thine be done. And then in verse 55, in that same hour, what did the Lord Jesus say to these multitudes that came out against him? The great multitudes. What was this question to them?
Are you coming after me like a thief?
It had nothing to do with the study.
Are you coming after me like a thief?
You're coming after me like a thief? With swords and staves? I remember the other gospel you read, it was swords and other equipment, remember? And you had other, two or three other things. To take me? What did he say about daily, where he was daily?
In the temple.
The temple daily? He didn't come out and lay hands on me. And then in verse 56, all this was done.
We didn't read 56 yet.
We didn't read. Okay, we stopped there. Okay, that's our 55. We read an extra verse, but that's fine. All right, we're going to stop rather right here at this verse 54. What thing?
We should do 56.
Let's read verse 56. Okay. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled, that all the disciples forsook him and fled. Was that in scripture?
Yes,
all should forsake him. The Lord Jesus predicted that, didn't he? What did Peter say about that?
Oh, no.
What did the other disciples say?
No.
But were they true or false?
Yeah, all the others forsake thee, and I will not.
Yeah, I'm not. And they all said the same thing. So yeah. Neither will we.
They couldn't fathom what was happening to them.
Right.
It was very frightening, I'm sure, when all the bandit came after him.
Yes. To be a king.
That's right. But the scriptures be fulfilled. Yeah, the scriptures, the scriptures, the scriptures. The Lord Jesus. How did the Lord Jesus know all the Old Testament scriptures?
He wrote them.
Whatsoever you shall hear me, that shall show you things to come. He'll write it down. And the things that he spoke, we believe he was the author not only of the New Testament, the words, but the Old Testament. He gave the Holy Spirit to the writers, the prophets. So he knew full well. There again, it's his omniscience, isn't it?
And his humanity, he did have to learn scriptures also.
Yes, he had to learn his humanity, but
it's hard to understand.
Yes, but as was deity,
right.
he knew the whole thing. Right. All right, we're going to stop right here. Do you have any other comments or questions before we close? All right, if not, let's close with a word of prayer. Our Father, we do thank thee that the Lord Jesus was willing to suffer and go to that cross. Thus it must be, he said. The scriptures must be fulfilled. Calvary, crucifixion, the cross, dying for the sins of the world, must take place. We're sorry for this, Judas. Help none of us to betray our Lord in any way, by word, by deed, by action, whatever it may be. Help us to be faithful to the Lord Jesus, who is faithful to us. Give us a good day of the Lord's day. May thy word be going forth, set forth in power. As we have our service, may it be a blessing to those that are here and those that are listening by other means. Guide and direct us and take care of those that are in need of prayer as we pray tonight. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. All right, thank you for coming.
I've been looking at this door, and it's white.